This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
And also,
Aryeh
Zev Ben Edel.
Okay. Okay, good evening, everyone. So we continue. We're in the sugya of Tumah V'Tahara Masechet Chagiga on Daf Chaf Amud Beis. The Gemara just said the following yesod on the bottom line on Chaf Amud Aleph. The Gemara brought the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara said, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Chazaka in Adam Meshamer Mashabiyad Chaveray. Then when it comes to the laws of Tumah V'Tahara, even if someone is very vigilant and someone's really on guard and they're watching their own property, even if they're looking at someone else, and even if that someone else has their property, nevertheless, you do not guard what is in the possession of someone else. So the Gemara challenges that now. In fact, the Gemara of Veloy, is that true? Va'atanya, we learned in a Braisa. Harei shahayu chamarav upayalav t'unin taharois. We learned in a Braisa, if you're, let's say you're a donkey driver, or your workers were laden with taharois. That means you have hired donkey drivers. Rashi points out they're amei ha'aretz, and they're laden with taharois, for example, wine, barrels of... Now, these barrels are earthenware barrels. Now, we know the halacha when it comes to earthenware is earthenware does not contract tumah from the outside, only from the inside. Kli charis is not metame from the outside. So the only way these amei ha'aretz could have been metame, these barrels, is if they stuck their hands inside. The thing is, you're watching them. So we say that if your donkey drivers or your workers were laden with taharos, afal pi shehiflig mehen, yoisem rimil, even though they distance themselves more than a mil. A mil is about a mile, about 2,000 amos. Taharois of taharois. Your taharois, which are in the earthenware basket barrels, are tahar. Rashi says, and we're not worried, maybe they touched it. Because since you didn't tell them that you're going to let them go far away, in other words, you didn't tell them you're going to really lag behind, as far as they know, you're going to keep pace with them. So they think at every moment you're going to come. So therefore, you don't have to suspect that maybe they touched it. But the question is, from here we see that why is it tahar? Because you're guarding what's in their possession. So we see, not like the Gemara was mechadesh earlier, that ein adam meshamer mashabiyad chaveray, but rather we see that a person is meshamer mashabiyad chaveray, because these donkey drivers... They can't be trusted on their own. They're only trusted because they suspect that you're watching. So we see that a person does do a shmira in terms of tara on the possessions that are in someone else's house. It's someone else's possession. Now, Asi wanted me to do that big tosis on Yates Amud Beis, which we said, remember that huge tosis that we took takes up most of the page, and we pointed out that it's not really on the page. It's actually on this Gemara. And the main question that Tosis is bothered by is that here we're dealing with Amei Aretz. We know the Chachamim were Goyzer and Amei Aretz, that they have a din of a Zav. So the question is, we know that a Zav that moves a Kli Cheres, moving something is like moving it from the is like touching it from the inside. So very good, these Amei Aretz won't stick their hand on the inside. But at the end of the day, they're moving it. And a Zav is metame, an earthenware kli, by moving it. So why isn't it tame by dint of the fact that the Ame Aretz is moving it, since Ame Aretz have a din of a Zav? So Tosfos says that this halacha that we give Ame Aretz, the din of a Zav, is only regarding touching and not regarding moving. Because if Amei Aretz had a din of a Zav regarding moving, you would never be able to use a Jewish mover. You hear this, Zemi? You can't. Every mover would be disqualified, because every mover, we would assume, you know, unless he's a Talmud Chacham mover, but if he's an Amei Aretz, if by giving him a din of a Zav, he's Matame Kli Cheres, nobody would be able to use Jewish movers. So therefore, in order to allow Jewish movers, they did not give the Ame Aretz the din of a Zav legabe moving. Okay. The bottom line is, we see from here that regarding that a person does guard what's in his friend's possession. Now, we're going to quote the end of the Braisa. The end of the Braisa says, V'yam Amar Lohem, but if you tell these movers, L'chu, go ahead, V'ani Avi Achreichem, and I'm following you. So basically, they know that you're really lagging behind. Kivan shenes almu einav mehen. Once you sort of ignore and stop watching the movers, taharois of tameos. You have to assume your taharois are tame, because out of sight, out of mind, you're not watching them. But at least in the Reisha, we see that while they're in eyeshot, even though they're very far away from you, we say the rule that a person guards what's in their friend's possession. So that's a kash on what we said before. Now, the Gemara immediately asks on this b'raisa, what's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa? Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. In other words, Rashi says we shouldn't even be goyres the words Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. The kasha is, if a person does not guard what's in their friend's possession, then in the Reisha also, the taroi should be tame. Rashi says, if you're going to think a person does not guard what's in their friend's possession, Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. So the Gemara answers, you know why really a person does not guard what's in their friend's possession? If a person does not guard what's in their friend's possession, why in the Reisha is it Tahar? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha, Reisha b'metahar chamarav upayalav lakach. The Reisha is talking about where you dunked these workers in the mikvah. So even though really you're not watching them, but there's nothing to be worried about because they can't be metame because you expressly immerse them for it. It says Rashi, really a person would never guard what's in their friend's possession. Vahani, and these ain't srich and shimur. They don't need to be guarded. The inami nagu, because even if they did touch, we wouldn't be concerned. We're talking about where you're a toivo, meaning really you don't watch what's in your friend's possession. Aye, so why aren't we worried that these guys touched your taros? We are. So why aren't they tame? Because you dunked them in the mikvah before the job.
So why is it seifa?
So then good. Ihachi seifa nami. In the seifa also, if you dunk them, so what if they're far away from you, but there's nothing to worry about. So Gemara says there is, because even though there's nothing to worry about if they touch it because they're tahar, but they may let someone else touch it. In Am Aretz makbid al maga chaver, and Am Aretz will not be makbid on his friend's touching. So Gemara says Ihachi Reisha Nami, and the Reisha also, because if really you don't guard what's in your friend's possession, isn't there a concern in the Reisha that someone else touched it? Says Gemara bebalahem darcha akalasain. Since you're not so far, Rashi says, you could catch them on a circuitous route. Since you're not so far, they're afraid you're going to come suddenly through like a curvy route, and therefore they're afraid, and they're going to make sure nobody touches it. So now the question is, if Tosis wants to know, so then why do we have to say that, the Gemara asks, Ihachi Seifa Nami. Why aren't they worried in the Seifa? The answer is, Kivan the Amr Lahu, Lahu, since you told them, go ahead, Vani Avi Acharechem, and I'll follow you, Mismach Samcha Datayu. They rely in their mind that you're not coming so fast, that you're not going to nail them. So Tosis asks the Gavaldig Akasha, basically the bottom line, the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa is in the Reisha, they're afraid because you're not too far, so you might cut them off and catch them suddenly. And therefore, they're not going to touch it, and no one else is going to. They're going to make sure no one else touches it. And when you're far away from them, so even though you are a matahir them, but maybe someone else will touch it. So Tosfos says, why did if the case of the Reisha is you could cut them off, and therefore they're afraid, then why does it have to be you are a matahir them? So Tosfos says you still need that you are a matahir them for this, in order that they'll be afraid to touch it. Meaning, in order for them to have fear to touch it, it has to be your matayar them. Otherwise, they're not afraid to touch it. They don't think they're tame. Taisha says, V'ilav hachi loy mirtachi, holu moysun lohem atarois. And they consider themselves as if they're tahar. Okay, so Hajin Alach Ein Darshan. We finished the Perek Ein Darshan. Hopefully that means in our matzav we finished the Parsha that the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want us to seek Him out, and now we start the Parsha of Dirshu Hashem. So we should start the next Perek, Choymer B'Kodesh, the Chumrah and the severity of Kodshim and the importance of Kodshim of being Milam B'Kodesh. Okay, so now really as we pointed out, This is really a continuation of the previous parak, and really the Mishnayos that of Taharos should have been the beginning of the third parak, but we explained that we didn't want the previous parak to end about the Baitusim and the Tzedoikim, and therefore it appendaged a little bit of the Taharos to the previous parak so that it shouldn't end on a bad note. So this Mishnah is going to tell us 11 chumras of kodshim over truma. We know there's something called chulin, and there's something called ma'aser sheni. And we know truma, because it's more holy and more kadosh, it has the ability and the vulnerability to become a shlishi, and kodshim, because it's even more holy, could become a revi. So the Mishnah says like this: Choymer b'kodesh mi b'truma. There's a chumrah of kodshim over truma. Kodshim has a chumrah over truma, and we're going to say 11 chumrahs that kodshim has over truma. Number one, shemat vilin kelim b'toch kelim l'truma. That let's say you need to be toivel kelim of truma that became tameh, you could be toivel two kelim, one within the other. Avaloi l'kodesh, but not for kodesh. And the Gemara will explain why we're more machmer by kachim. Number two, a kli can have different components to it. It can have an outside, an inside. It can have a handle or a base hatzvita. We'll see in the Gemara what that means. So normally we say that when one part of a kli becomes tameh, it does not affect the other part of the kli. So, achayrayim, the outside of a kli, v'toich, and the inside of Beis HaTzvita, and the Beis HaTzvita, we'll see in the Gemara what that means, Betruma, Avaloi B'Kodesh. Meaning a kli that has different components, that has different parts to it, is considered a kli b'fnei atzmai regarding Truma. That if one part became Tameh, the other part does not become Tameh. Regarding Truma, if one part of a kli became Tameh, the rest of the kli remains Tahar. Now, Rashi explains this is only true by Tumah D'Rabbanan, by Tumah D'Raisa. When one part of a kli becomes Tameh, the whole thing is Tameh. But by Tumah D'Rabbanan, when we say when one part becomes Tameh, the rest is Tahar. But not for Kodshim. For Kodshim, even for Tumah D'Rabbanan, when one part of the kli is Tameh, the rest is Tameh. So, Avaloi B'Kodesh. Next, Hanoisei Es Hamidras, someone who carries something that a Zav carried or wore. We know that when a Zav wears something or carries something, that item becomes an Av HaTuma. So let's say you're carrying in one hand, say, the shoe or the shirt of a Zav. So if you carry that shirt, which is an Av HaTuma, then you could carry Truma in your other hand. Now why? You're a Rishon, and you're going to render the truma, a sheni. So Rashi says we're talking about, in your other hand, you're carrying the truma in a barrel. So you're not coming in contact with the truma, and we're talking about a barrel of earthenware. And the barrel of earthenware cannot become tameh from the outside. So if you're carrying, in one hand, a midras of a zav, you could carry truma in another hand, avaloi es hakodesh, but not kodesh. Kodshim were more machmer, and we'll see in the Gemara why. Next halacha, and this halacha we had in the previous Mishnah, Bigdei Oichle Truma Midras L'Kodesh. The begadim of those who eat Truma are a Midras for Kodesh. Meaning the garments of those who eat Truma are still not guarded vigilantly enough for those who eat Kodshim. Loi K'midas HaKodesh Midas HaTruma. Chumra number 5. Not like the Midah of Kodshim is the Midah of Truma. What does that mean? When we deal with the Dinim of Chatzitza and being Toivo Truma, the laws of chatzitza for truma are more lenient than the laws of chatzitza for kachim. How's that? We know that if a garment has a knot, let's say you tie two garments together, if the knot is loose, it should not be a chatzitza. So regarding truma, it's not a chatzitza. So regarding truma, matir. Now another thing is, if a garment is wet, you could still be toivel it. But when it comes to kachim, we're extra machmir. Number one, by kachim we say, a garment cannot have a knot. A knot would be a chatzitza. Number two, for kachim we say that it cannot be wet. So the Mishnah says, loy k'midas ha-kodesh midas ha-truma. Not like the laws of kachim are the laws of truma regarding chatzitza. Shabekodesh matir u'menagev u'matvel. For kachim, you need to untie all the knots. You need to dry all the garments, and you need to be toivel. The acher kach kosher, and then you could tie it. But if a truma, when it comes to truma kosher, you tie the garment, the acher kach matvil, and then you're toivel the garment. Okay, weiter. Kelim hanigmarim b'tahara. Means like this. Typically, a kli is not mekabel tuma unless it's complete. But if it cannot contract tuma before the kli is finished being made. So let's say you have a kli that contracted, that came into contact with tuma, but it was not nigmar. And at the time when it was nigmar, from the moment it was completed, you were careful that it should remain tahar. Kelim hanigmarim b'tahara, kelim that are completed in tahara, tzrichin tvila l'kodesh, require tvila for kachim, avaloy l'truma, but not truma. Meaning, if a kli came into contact with tuma before it was completed, then for kachim you would have to immerse the kli, but not for truma. Next, there's a rule. I'll tell you an interesting halacha. There's a concept that a kli could be mitzaref all the items in it. I'll tell you where we sometimes apply this halacha. There's a chumrah of the Ben Ishchai. We don't paskin this way. That for shalach manis, if you technically you could give somebody two jelly beans. But if it's in one kli, the Ben Ishchai says the kli is mitztarifid, that it's only considered one min. So sometimes we apply this phenomenon that a kli joins together whatever's in it. So the Mishnah says a kli mitzaref masha b'soichai l'kodesh. A kli joins up what's in it for kodshim avaloi l'truma, but not for truma. So l'gabe kodshim, we say like this. Let's say you have two pieces of kodshim in a kli, and one of them become tame, then the other one is tame, even though they're not touching, because the kli joins them both together, but not for truma. Haravi b'kodesh, the ravi, so like this. We know that there's something called avi avoy satuma, that's a dead body. There's something called an avatuma, someone who touches a dead body, or a zav, or a nida. Then there's a rishain batuma. If someone touches an avatuma, a person could become a rishain, a kli could become a rishain. Now, rishain batuma could make food and drink a sheni. And pretty much that's the highest that tuma goes, or the lowest that tuma goes. But because truma is so holy, truma could become a shlishi. But if a shlishi, which is truma, touches other truma, nothing happens. Kachim could become a ravi. Since kachim is so holy, it could become a ravi. So haravi b'kodesh pasal. A ravi on kachim is pasal. Now the word pasal in the context of tuma means it itself is disqualified, but it cannot be matami something else. So a ravi by kachim is really the furthest it goes. The hashlishi b'truma. And when it comes to truma, the furthest it goes is shlishi. Now, regarding truma, let's say when it comes to tuma drabanan, we know tuma drabanan only makes your hands tame and not your body. So we say, v'truma im nitmeis achas miyadav, by truma, if one of your hands became tame, chaverta tahira, the other one became tahar. Uvekodesh, and by kodshim, matvil shtehen. In other words, by truma, if one hand becomes tame midrabanan, the other one is tahar still. By Kodshim, you have to be Toivo, both of them. Because by Kodshim, one hand, if one hand is Tamei, the other hand is Tamei. Sharei Metamei is Chaverta, B'Kodesh Avaloi B'Tshuma. It's Metamei, it's friend, for Kodshim and not for Tshuma.
What's the case if we always say Shtam Yadayim or Tamei? How could one hand only be Tamei, the other one be Tahar?
I guess let's say you were Toivo them, or you washed them, so now they're Tahar, and then one hand became Tamei Midrabanan. What would that be? I don't know. You touched. How would you?
You're saying that only one hand became tamei, and you were not shechadah.
Right.
And you know the other one is fine.
Right.
Okay.
Number 10. Oichlim neguvim biyadayim esayav es b'tshuma avalei b'kodesh. We know that in order for something to become tamei, it has to be hukshar lekabel tama. Something, a food, cannot just become tamei. If you have a chves, a banana, you have an apple, it can't just become tamei. It has to become wet first. So you're allowed to eat dry food with tamei hands by truma. Let's say your hands are tamei. Again, we're talking about your hands are tamei with shniyos. Because if your hands are chves, a rishain, they could make the... It's talking about your hands are shniyos for truma. And then, if the truma did not become wet, it's not hukshar lekabel tuma. So then, you're allowed to eat truma with tamei hands if the food is dry. Avaloi b'kodesh. But if we're dealing with kodshim, you cannot eat it, even though the kodshim is dry. And finally, the 11th halach is ha'oinein. A person who's an oinein. An oinein is someone who their relative passes away. However, let's say they did not come into contact with the mace, so they're not tamei. Technically, midaraisa, a person is an oinein the whole first day. Umechuser kippurim. Mechuser kippurim is somebody, like Rashi says, like a zav, who was toivel on the seventh day, and shkia came. So he's technically, he has a certain level of tahara, because he went to the mikvah, and the seventh days are over. And on the next day, he has to bring a karbin. So if someone is an oinein, or someone who's a mechuser kippurim, you still need tefillah. Meaning, if you want to eat kodshim, you got to go to the mikvah again. Even though you went to the mikvah on the seventh day, you have to go to, since you still didn't bring your karbin, you're not considered fully tahar until you go to the mikvah. Likewise, an oinein cannot eat, he could eat truma, but he can't eat kodshim until he goes to the mikvah. So these are the 11 chumras of kodshim over truma. And Bezos Hashem, next week we'll do Chaf Aleph Amen Aleph. Next week, Erev Pesach is a very short blot. Again, you have a tremendous Tosfos. And the Ribbono Shel Olam should give us Siyata Shmaya to understand his Torah. Cool, we're going to just say one parak of Tehillim.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.